Hi, I'm Jo, and this is Mama's Talk. So I'll start every episode by saying that while Mama's Talk is absolutely a fun show to listen to, it's also about encouraging honest chat about the good stuff and the rough stuff about motherhood. So it might be that the things that we talk about bring up or trigger difficult feelings for you. So if you are affected by any of the subjects that we chat about, then do seek out professional support from a healthcare professional. Often we'll be talking about maternal mental health. So I always link to the Charity Minds information on maternal mental health resources in my social media links, and I will add that link to the show notes as well. And then of course any show subject specific resources will also be linked to in the show notes. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 7. Thanks for joining us again. It is just me chatting to my phone. But this episode, I've got a really fantastic interview with Lou Barton from 10 of Zen and Live Well with Lou. She runs two businesses. Really enjoyed talking to her last week and really enjoyed re-listening to the interview again. Half of what I talk about when we're recording, I just completely forget until it comes to the editing process. I really enjoyed that, actually. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. We did have a really great chat. And some of what she said just gave me goosebumps, because so much of Lou's kind of mission really aligns with my values for my business and what I really want to be able to share with mums in terms of self-care and looking after ourselves and being kinder to ourselves and how mindfulness can support that. So it was a fantastic chat and I really enjoyed it. So right, I will stop waffling now and introduce you to Lou, but I really hope that you enjoy the episode as much as I did.
So thank you so much for joining me today, Lou. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Lou, aka the Mama Mojo Coach, is what I go by on Instagram. And I am an integrated nutrition health coach, sort of a mouthful, and a mindfulness teacher for mums. And I work with mums, I guess, to better help them cope with the modern day mother load. So my passion is all about helping mums to dial down stress and overwhelm and anxiety, and to support them and give them the resources and tools they need to feel a bit more energized, a bit more positive, and I guess just a bit more like you again, the best version of you. Ultimately, it's about helping mums to get more joy from life. And when we feel energized and well rested and less stressed and positive, and we're being kind to ourselves, that's what happens. You get more joy from life. We can be our best self and we can then welcome more joy into our life.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that, because motherhood can be full of, it can feel like a slog a lot of the time, can't it?
Absolutely.
Taking the edge off that and you know, when it feels like a slog, you don't feel much joy. Mm-hmm. And that can often feel missing. So that feels like a really really refreshing kind of mindset, I'm sure. That really resonates. That's lovely.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, I try when I'm coaching people, because I've done the sort of the nutrition side and the integrated health and the mindfulness, I try and provide quite a holistic approach. I kind of say that I nourish mums on the plate, but I also nourish them off the plate.
Yeah.
So it's all about nourishing, and it's positive. It's not about cutting things out or being restrictive. It's about looking at ways that you can nourish yourself and add things in. So on the plate with nutrition, and then off the plate, nourishing yourself with self-care, mindfulness, meditation, mindset, a big dose of self-love and self-worth. And it's all about subtle tweaks. So it's all about subtle shifts, simple steps, small changes that can all add up to make a big difference. So it's no restrictive diets, no radical changes. We just don't need that as mums, do we? We don't have space for it. We don't have capacity for big habit changes. Okay, so I've got four little ones. So I'm a mum of four little ones. I've got four kids aged 7 and under. So it has to be self-care without overwhelm. We don't want to make it harder.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really apt. I've been talking about in one of the courses that I'm running at the moment, the group of mums that that we're talking about trying to find and trying to build this habit of self-care, but without it becoming another thing that we beat ourselves up about for not being good enough at, or another thing on the to-do list. And it's the subtlety and starting to build that habit just from the teeny tiny little changes, and then building on that very gradually, and being really soft with ourselves about it, because building a new habit is really hard anyway. Building a new habit when you've got four children under seven is really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
So, or whether you've got one baby or five or anything in between or more, you're time poor as a mum, aren't you?
Yeah.
So,
we don't want to add to the mother load. We don't want to give ourselves another thing. We don't want to set ourselves up for failure. We've got to have realistic expectations, I think, when it comes to self-care and mindfulness and meditation. And I think a lot of the time when I start talking to mums about self-care and mindfulness meditation, I either get kind of like an eye roll. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Really nice. Exactly.
Give ourselves some time for me. It's kind of, I sometimes get sort of a sarcastic response back. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's all about, like I said, setting yourself up not to fail. So start off super small. Start off just with 60 seconds of self-care
a day.
Start off with 2 minutes, wherever your baseline is at the moment. Start from there and build it up a little bit at a time. We can all give ourselves 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So let's just start with 60 seconds and then we'll build it up from there. And I think once you can do that 60 seconds, whether you start off every day, every other day, once a week, 60 seconds, you know, whatever you think you can do realistically.
Yeah.
When you achieve that, you get that dopamine hit in your brain.
Yeah.
It's like when you tick something off a to-do list. Oh, I love it. You get that real like hit of dopamine.
Yeah, I did that.
You feel really good about yourself. And then you're like, I can do this. This is something I can do. I can do 60 seconds a day. And then once you've got that as a habit and it's as automatic as brushing your teeth, you can build on it. We can make it 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, you know, there's this myth that self-care is a luxury, or it's like something you have to earn, you know, like, I can't give myself a bit of time for me because I haven't done enough for my to-do list yet. Or it's kind of like, oh, you know, that's a real luxury. It's something that's just not possible for me. And it is possible for everyone to give themselves a little tiny pocket of time for themselves. It is completely possible and it is necessary. You know, it's not a luxury, actually, it's an essential.
Yeah, it's an essential and it's a basic need, isn't it? I think the 10 of Zen stuff that, so I use 10 of Zen because I trained with Nikki, who you are the successor of, is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
So I use the 10 of Zen kind of program meditations in some of my work, and it's the same message of, it just makes it so accessible. It goes from this idea when someone's like you say, if you mention like with a client that, you know, self-care and you get an eye roll or oh yeah, that'd be nice but I can't, and sometimes you think it has to look a certain way and you think that you have feels completely unachievable, and you can think, oh, that'd be nice for other people, but I can't quite work out how it's going to fit to me. When you break it down to those 60 seconds, like you say, or just the teeny tiny increments, and then it becomes as easy as fitting in as brushing your teeth. Thank you.
That's the goal. And I learned the hard way that self-care is self-preservation. After the birth of my second son, I suffered really badly of postnatal depletion. The beginning of my motherhood journey was just filled with utter exhaustion, mentally, physically and emotionally completely depleted. And that hit me after the birth of my second son. So I had two really close in age, and I found that really tough. I was running my business at the time, a really busy PR and marketing agency. I didn't give myself any time to rest. I had a completely different mindset to what I have now, actually. I've gone on quite a journey over the last 7 years. I didn't give myself any time to rest. I thought rest was lazy. I thought self-care was a luxury. I thought that working like long hours was the way forwards. I just thought that the more you work, the busier you are, the more successful you were. I just thought I could do it all. I just thought I could keep pushing. I just thought I was super resilient and my body and mind just keep pushing through. I could be a great mum. I could keep growing my business. I could be a good wife, a good sister, a good daughter, a good friend. The challenge for me was not only did I have that headspace, that mindset of rest being lazy, being a luxury, I also had a really bad trio of personality traits as well. So I was a perfectionist, which is very dangerous when you're a mum. I was a people pleaser. And I also really easily fell into compare and despair mode. So comparing myself to others. Now, that trio of traits is a really bad concoction. It's just sort of a recipe for disaster for a new mum, I think. You know, trying to be the perfect mum. You know, not being able to say no to any requests from work, comparing myself to others all the time, wondering why I couldn't turn up perfectly, why I wasn't doing the cake bake sale, why I wasn't on the parent forums, what I was trying to do everything else with two babies. I didn't do anything for myself. I was just rushing from pillar to post, completely in autopilot mode, not connecting to anything, not connecting to myself, not really connecting to anyone else. I was very disconnected. All about doing mode. So my success, my self-worth was all based on how much I could tick off that to-do list at the end of the day. And I just wasn't very present. And, you know, sort of magic moments of motherhood were just passing me by. And I think because I wasn't tuning into the magic or feeling very connected to myself or my little ones or anything else, really, I wasn't getting the magic. I wasn't banking the goodness.
I wasn't recognizing
the good in mothering or motherhood, and that left me feeling very lost in motherhood. I just didn't feel very connected into the whole mothering experience. And so when I was sort of at my lowest point, completely exhausted, completely burnt out, that is when I signed up to the Institute of Integrated Nutrition. Because I just thought I need to do something to heal myself. And that's why I thought the sort of holistic approach of looking at nutrition and self-care, sort of lifestyle medicine, really appealed to me. And as I went through the course, it was really just sort of for myself. But the change I saw in myself at the end of the course just made me inspired and motivated, I guess, to combine my like marketing experience with trying to reach more mums and share that goodness with more mums. I knew that a lot of my other fellow mum friends were feeling the same. They're feeling a bit lost in motherhood. They weren't sure how to look after themselves or get back to feeling like their best self. And I knew that a lot of mums were struggling with this pressure of modern day mumming, which I think is a lot of mums do compare themselves to others, especially in this digital age we live in. It's very easy to have that glimpse into other people's lives and very easily fall into compare and despair mode. And a lot of mums I was surrounded by were sort of striving to be this super mum, this perfect mum. And, you know, I sort of recognized the traits that I'd suffered with and a lot of my mum friends as well. So yeah, that's why I decided to then take the health coaching and then do the mindfulness and reach other mums to try and help them kind of lighten the load as well.
That's amazing. I was gonna ask this question: how has your experience of motherhood shaped and inspired the work you do today? But that is an absolutely perfect anecdote about it and an overview of it. What do you think was the biggest kind of part of, or is the one sort of standout part of motherhood that your experience, perhaps like in the early days when you had your first two, that really kind of made you, because it's a complete career shift, really. Obviously, you're using all of your PR and marketing skills really adeptly as well, and it comes into the business now, but you're using it to in your coaching business and to support people. what was the one kind of like standout moment that happened that made you that kind of
shifted I guess my mission of what I wanted to do. Well, I think it was possibly when I became a mum for the first time, actually. I just didn't think I was very prepared for the mental side of it.
Same. That is really weird. So much of what you're saying, I'm just nodding away going,
I survived childbirth. I had a traumatic birth. I survived the childbirth and I was kind of like, oh, good. Now it's going to be on to the good bits.
Yeah.
Just like, cuddling the baby and beautifully breastfeeding and, snuggled in bed with my little one. And it just didn't happen. None of that happened. None of those ideals of motherhood, what you grow up seeing in the magazines and in the films, none of that rang true for me.
It's like night and day, the expectation versus reality. And I think I was like you, I wasn't prepared. I just thought it was going to be, I didn't even read the end of the pregnancy books, like the birth bit. I wasn't even really particularly prepared for the birth. I'm not quite sure what I thought I was doing. There's books that are still unread that were on the bookshelf. That bit sounds quite scary. I'm not sure about that bit. I was grossly underprepared. And I think I didn't really imagine, I don't know, I'm not quite sure if I had like this block that it maybe wasn't going to happen. I don't know. That's another therapy session, I think, to go into all that. But
I thought that I was quite a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was quite mentally and emotionally robust.
Yeah.
But boy, does nothing prepare you for the sleep deprivation and how that affects your mood and your capacity to cope and your resilience, the hormones, the worry, the anxiety. I mean, I just remember in those early days of post-birth recovery, I just felt really confused was mm-hmm. one of my main things. People kept coming up to me and being like, oh, enjoy this magic newborn phase. And I was just like, this does not feel magic, special even, because I had a lot of post-birth pain. Breastfeeding was really tricky. It was really painful. My hormones were all over the place. Sleep was non-existent. Those first 5 to 6 weeks were some of the toughest, probably physically and mentally and emotionally, I've ever endured. And people saying to me, like, this is the most magic time of your life. Enjoy this precious time. In these early weeks are so special. Like, soak up all the magic. I was just like, oh. Like, I just felt so guilty that something must have been wrong with me, or I wasn't doing something right, because they didn't feel magic and precious at all. Like, they felt brutal. It felt overwhelming. It felt all encompassing. I just was so ill prepared for that mental and emotional side. I just kind of remember at one stage just looking around me and just think, what happened? What happened to me? Like, where am I? My life just felt so different.
It's like almost alien. You're like, what happened? Literally, what happened? Yeah. I think it's interesting that you say that, like, you were ill prepared, and I kind of talk about that as well, because I mean I certainly was. But I actually think that even if you're incredibly prepared and you're really fastidious about all of your preparation, there's still that feeling of like, what happened? What? Because there's so much unpredictability, and every experience is different. Like, I'm sure that your first child, second child, and third child, fourth child, the post-birth bit was different in each way. That was a revelation to me, that it wasn't all going to be the same. I think there isn't, I suppose it is a bit of a cliche, but there isn't really, I don't think anything can prepare you really for the reality of it.
No, and I think the further I went along, and then I got pregnant again quite soon after, and I think it was after the birth of my second son, when I'd almost been through that year of motherhood, that sort of whirlwind year.
What's the age difference between the two of them?
They've got two boys under two.
Oh, okay.
And I just remember someone asking me, like, what do you love doing? Like, what are your hobbies? What do you love doing? And I was just like, and it was one of the questions in the health coaching program. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I love doing anymore. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I did something fun. just for me. And I wasn't even sure what I loved doing anymore. So I just felt lost. I felt very lost. And I think that was one of the hardest things for me.
I can really see where the motivation of helping others to see the joy in motherhood comes from. But that's really reflected there. Next question is around your mental well-being after you touched on it a little bit, but how was your mental well-being after having your children?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, it was just, I just felt quite lost. I felt quite a lot of mum guilt because I felt like when people saying that you should be enjoying this is really precious. And I just didn't feel much of it was very precious at the time. And I just think I didn't really know how to build up my resilience and how to build up my capacity to cope. So I'd say like my resilience was low, my capacity to cope was low. I didn't have my kind of like emotional well-being toolkit built at that stage. I didn't really know how to give myself what I needed or how to give myself any self-care.
So definitely
I was feeling quite depleted mentally and emotionally.
So what helped at that point then? Did you say that's when you started to look into the nutritional training?
Yeah, so that's when I was suffering with postnatal depletion, that's when I was like, right, I've got to build myself back up again. And I knew it had to be something holistic that I did. So that's when I then studied with the Institute of Nutrition and learn all the nutritional tools, the lifestyle medicine tools, the coaching tools to kind of build myself back up again.
Just noticing that I haven't heard the phrase postnatal depletion very often. How would you define that?
So I've read a load of books on it because it's not very
focused. It's a new concept to me. I'm really interested to know.
So it is quite a new concept. It's a new term that's been coined. And I think it's really useful to have a name for it, actually. And a lot of the mums that I speak to, you might not necessarily be perhaps clinically diagnosed as having depression. And you're not clinically diagnosed as having anxiety. But you don't feel like you don't feel like your best self. You feel very drained and depleted, almost burnt out on that physical, mental and emotional level. You just feel a bit like meh. So a lack of energy, that brain foggy feeling where you're kind of a bit fuzzy and you can't really see the wood for the trees. You feel perhaps more irritable, less patient, a bit disconnected, a bit flat. But it's an energy thing. You just feel really lackluster again.
Yeah, the depletion side of it, whilst I'm sure, and you've said that it definitely impacts on your emotional and mental resilience as well, it does sound, or it just evokes an idea of being, or a feeling of just being exhausted.
Yeah,
but that on your knees kind of exhausted.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, like mummy burnout in a way. Right, you're just completely burnt out on those three different levels, the physical, mental and emotional, and you've just feel like you just don't have anything else to give. You're just desperate for a bit of energy. Like, so even if you did get a good night's sleep, you still wake up feeling quite tired just because your reserves are so low.
I think there'll be loads of people that are listening that will be nodding away going, oh my goodness, that actually really resonates with how I feel. How did you come about the diagnosis? Was it something that you did your GP point you in the direction? Was it more self guidance and you discovered? You said you'd done a lot of reading about it. How did it come about for you?
Sadly, it wasn't from the GP. I know a lot of mums have quite a bad experience of that. So it's a 6-week health check. don't necessarily, I mean, you're very lucky if you get a really in-depth check that covers the physical, mental and emotional side, I think. So it was a lot of research. And then I came across this concept of depletion. And there was sort of like a self-assessment questionnaire that you could fill out. And I remember filling it out and just being like, yep, that's me. And it was like, you know, this is called postnatal depletion and it is a thing. And yeah, I've actually got on my Instagram, so my Live Well With Lou Instagram.
Yeah.
I've got a free download actually, and it's chronic stress and depletion. So you can download it for free from my Instagram, and it's got a questionnaire at the front that you can see maybe where on the scale you are of depletion, of chronic stress and depletion.
Just signpost to that again, where would you find it? So you're on your Live Well With Lou, is your handle on Instagram.
Yeah, so on my Instagram, which is Live Well With Lou.
Yeah.
And it's live underscore well underscore with underscore Lou.
And then I will link to it in the show notes. Yeah.
So yeah, and just in the link in my bio, there is a free download there called Chronic Stress and Depletion. And I think
that's,
you know,
so helpful.
I actually created that guide about a year ago after we'd been through that first year of lockdown. Mm. And so many mums were coming to me with the signs and symptoms of depletion.
It's not something that's exclusively for postnatal period, is it? It can come out at I mean, lockdown, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What we went through. Yeah. Do you think prior to the pandemic period, were you seeing it in women with children of all ages as well?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, the postnatal period isn't necessarily, you know, the first year after birth.
Mm-hmm,
it can be like the first 7 years, you know? So I think, you know, you're always postnatal. And especially if you've got, you know, multiple children, you know, you're always thrown back into that sort of like postnatal phase again. And I think postnatal depletion can hit you. It can hit you anywhere in your motherhood journey. So yeah, take a look at the guide and see how you come out on the score. And there's also some tips for how you can start to recover and heal as well.
Amazing. Any books that you read that you this is completely putting you on the spot, Lou. I haven't so don't worry.
See if I've got it, because it's such a good hang on one moment. Aha, here it is. So this was like my savior. So it's called Postnatal Depletion Cure, a complete guide to rebuilding your health and reclaiming your energy for mothers of newborns, toddlers, and young children.
Who's it by? Who's the author?
It's by Dr. Oscar Seralach, which is Serralach. But if you search
something
for,
to link to as well,
search for the postnatal depletion cure, it will come up. It's a really powerful book, and this doctor, it was actually his wife that was suffering with postnatal depletion, and as a doctor, he was just like, something's not quite right with her. It's not depression. It's not anxiety. Like, what is it? And so he coined the term postnatal depletion, and then he wrote a whole protocol for to recover from it. And this was one of like the books that I followed. It had like nutrition, well-being, self-care, like a whole toolkit for how to help heal yourself. So yeah,
that's amazing. So part of your healing journey or healing yourself I think I interrupted you and got a bit waylaid because I was really excited to hear more about the definition of postnatal depletion. I do have a bit of a habit of that, distracting myself and going on a tangent.
The juicy information comes.
So that was a personal kind of, to start off with, like for personal self-help almost, was it, that you started to dip your toe into it? How did you find that it helped?
What, the learnings from the course? It was like, it completely changed my life, because like I mentioned at the beginning, I was completely a person whose headspace was in the mindset that, you know, rest was lazy, self-care was a luxury, meditation was a bit woo-woo, you know, eating for me was just a fast fix to fuel me to get all done on my list. So, you know, I didn't really have any form of true self-care in my life. And then at the end of the two-year training, I completely flipped my perspective on that, and very much so now view rest as a necessity, rest being actually something that makes you more productive.
Yeah.
I, you know, no longer view rest as lazy. I have solid self-care tools in place now to support my needs. I no longer strive to be a perfect mom. I choose peace over perfection. I choose chaos.
Yeah.
I don't measure myself on productivity. So like productivity is no longer a measure of success for me. Success is about recognizing how I feel and then giving myself a little bit of what I need. It's about putting my needs on the to-do list. Not necessarily, I'm not even going to go as far as saying up the to-do list, because sometimes that's just a stretch too much. But
yeah,
my needs are on the list. My needs are on that list. I know when to rest. It's about being present. It's about switching out of doing mode and being in being mode. Slowing down enough to soak up that magic of motherhood so that I can bank those highs to ride out the inevitable lows. So I'd say it's like completely changed my perspective and mindset. And it's definitely, I think without having done that course and without having the knowledge and feeling empowered to be able to take care of myself and having the knowledge, the tools and the practices I need to support myself in terms of nutrition. So, you know, opening up my cupboard, and I treat my cupboard and my kitchen as kind of nature's pharmacy. So I'll open it up and I'll be like, right, how am I feeling today? Like, what do I need? Like, what can I fuel myself with to help feed and fuel myself in a positive way rather than fail me? Without having those self-care practices and that nutrition knowledge in place, there's no way I would have survived that first round of lockdown. So at the time, I had 4 kids under 6. I had a newborn baby who was born in May, right at the beginning of that first lockdown, when there were no toilet rolls left on the shelves. There was no formula on the shelves. So, and I was homeschooling too. I had a 2-year-old. My Betsy, my third, had just turned 2 and had a newborn baby. So I was like homeschooling 2 children whilst trying to breastfeed and potty train a 2-year-old. There's no way.
So that actually, that literally made me shiver. That is that.
I mean, it was so tough. It was really tough.
Yeah.
But I think if I didn't have that toolkit of, you know, micro self-care tools, there's no way I would have completely broken. I would have completely broken. So yeah, I'm so thankful that I'd done it and I had switched my mindset. But also I had empowered myself with the knowledge and the tools and the practices.
That's amazing. Goodness, I'm just thinking about you in that first lockdown with newborn. I know, like the actual, oh my goodness. Well done. Just well done for surviving that.
Like, I think well done to everyone. Every mother who has survived the last 2 years deserves a serious high five. I mean, it's been hard for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you have, you know, 1 kid or 20 kids. You know, it was a change from our norm. So I think that's another thing I say to people. It's like when people are like, oh no, but you've got it so much harder than me. Well, I don't then say, oh my gosh, so-and-so down the road of 20 kids has got it harder than me. You know, I think it's, I think it was a phrase by Anna Martha, who I adore.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's an amazing resource.
Let me try and get this right. She says, someone else's broken leg doesn't make your stubbed toe hurt any worse. And I was like, I love that. You're allowed to feel the pain you're in. You don't have to say, well, someone else has got it worse all the time. Just allow yourself to be like, do you know what? That was hard.
Yeah. And I think it's so important as we recover. I mean, the pandemic's still happening. still on lateral flow. When's the COVID going to come again? Especially with the real flurry happening with us locally. But in all 3 of my boys' schools. So, as we recover from the pandemic, I think it's really, really important, like you say, to acknowledge the the pain and the struggle that we've been through, to let ourselves just say, it was really bloody hard.
Yeah, and also to grieve for everything we lost.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Some people, you know, might be, you know, grieving for loved ones that were lost, absolutely, but also just to grieve for those lost experiences. You know, I still find myself like grieving for that lost maternity leave. That maternity leave was not the maternity leave I'd imagined. Fourth and final child. I thought that my, you know, my 2 eldest boys would be at school and my little girl would be off at nursery and I'd have this lovely baby bubble.
Yeah.
And it was complete, I lost that.
Yeah.
And so many mums that have given birth during the pandemic, especially first time mums, you know.
Yeah.
You lost that maternity leave, you know. And I think it's important to give yourself space to acknowledge and to grieve for that loss.
Yeah, we've all experienced
losses, you know, lost holidays even, uh-huh, you know, uh-huh. There's all been losses on different scales, and it's important to give yourself that space to just appreciate what you lost.
Yeah, and just like you said, the comparison, I find so many women that I work with and talk to fall into the trap, but we're just in this habit of like you say, saying, oh, I haven't got it as bad as so-and-so down the road. So that Anna Martha phrase is just so powerful, because it doesn't matter that perhaps we might be grieving lost holidays, or we might be grieving loved ones. And there is, it's, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, because I feel fortunate that I've only grieved lost holidays, but just the acknowledgement is going to be really important for everybody to kind of move forward, just acknowledging kind of what we've been through and allowing ourselves that space without the comparison, without beating ourselves up for feeling negative about something that, if we do start to compare it's kind of worse on the scale of bad things.
Yeah. And I think there's a simple word switch that you can use to help with that as well. So instead of saying, you know, like, I lost my holiday, but everybody else has had it so much worse, or so-and-so down the road lost a loved one, or whatever, you know, you can say to yourself that you feel grateful that for your health, and you feel grateful that your family are okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel frustrated and peed off and frustrated with the government, so you can just say,
that is a really powerful shift, just that little word.
So that "and" word's really powerful.
Yeah, I remember I don't know if I might have mentioned it on the podcast before, but in one really memorable therapy session was when my therapist told me you can have two opinions about the same thing, two opposing opinions about the same event. Exactly. It's okay to feel this and this.
It's light and shade, isn't it? Okay, so we can feel light and shade.
Yeah,
we can feel the good and the bad. We don't have to have one or the other.
Yeah, and pandemic of. Amongst other things, things are complicated, things are nuanced. That little "and" word is incredibly helpful in navigating how we feel about those nuanced and complicated and complex things that it's all part of life, the complications, isn't it? But and it was what makes life rich and diverse. That little "and" that's very, very, very powerful. Thinking about the next question is, what do you wish you could tell your pre-mama self?
Oh my gosh, it's such a good question, isn't it? I would say, go easy on yourself. Don't be so tough on yourself. I would say be patient, that you haven't lost yourself, that you are still there. You're just buried really deep underneath a pile of nappies and dirty baby grows and toddler tears and tantrums, that, you know, deep down, buried underneath all that, you are actually okay. That you're doing okay. I'll tell myself that I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
But also that it's okay to not be okay. I do think it is one of those best kept secrets that motherhood is sometimes really SHIT.
You can swear, it's okay.
I can swear. Okay. So I think it is this massive secret, isn't it? That actually motherhood is a bit shit sometimes. And you can hate parts of motherhood and still be an amazing mum.
There's an "and" again.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to love every part of motherhood to be an incredible mum, and that's okay. I think there's a lot of good vibes only out there. And it's very easy to get sucked into this whole good vibes only. And if you're not being positive and saying that you're loving motherhood and focusing on all the joy, that you are somehow not a good mum, or you're not enjoying motherhood, or she must be struggling because, you know, she's not like saying that she's loving it. It's just not the, it's not the case. Like, if you have an honest conversation with most mums, there are bits of motherhood that everyone hates, whether it's the early mornings, that struggle to get them into the bath, and then when they're in the bath, they don't want to get out the bath. Like, that is so annoying. Like, there's so many micro aggravations.
Yeah.
Any frustrations during the day, it doesn't mean you don't love being a mom.
Yeah.
And that's okay, you know, and like everyone has their own struggles. And I think, you know, I'm just want to try and like lift the filter on motherhood a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone talks a bit more about the struggles. And I think it's starting to happen. I think this glossy outer shell is starting to come away. We're seeing those motherhood.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important that conversations like this happen. So that other mums have the chance to be like, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about connection over comparison.
Yeah.
So instead of comparing ourselves to others, let's connect with other mums and say like,
yes, yeah,
me too. And I think I would say to myself, like, you know, you can do anything, but you can't do everything.
That's such a good phrase. It's a brilliant one. Can't. Yeah, yeah. It's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't be you can't meet everyone's needs all the time.
No.
You can't be everything to everyone all the time.
No.
And I think as mums, we try to do that, don't we?
Yeah.
All the needs, all the times, and make sure everyone else is happy. And then that's what leaves you feeling depleted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Don't worry about meeting all the needs. You don't have to get it right all the time. You don't have to get it right in motherhood all the time. I think that's another thing I'll probably tell myself. Like, don't worry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get it right all the time. You know?
Yeah. And what's right one day is probably not likely to be right the next day.
Oh my gosh. That is, couldn't be like, that's so true. Like, even to the level
there's
of
no template.
My 18-month-old today, like, hated a banana yesterday. I'm literally like, you're so right, like, what's right one day? A banana for breakfast. Today was literally like, no, banana is getting thrown across the floor. I'm like, you loved banana yesterday, like, what's going on? So yeah, even on that small level.
Yeah, we had exactly the same breakfast conversation with, well, he's, so mine are 12, 8 and 5, so not quite tantrums, but Jasper's pretty good at 5-year-old style tantrums. I was just saying to Finn, I was like, I came downstairs, and Finley, my eldest, is really great with getting on with like starting breakfast. He even made me a cup of tea this morning, which is a brilliant milestone to reach. It's like, yes. Going to Scouts is incredibly useful. Thank you very much, Finley. And I always make sure that I tell him how grateful I am, because I don't want to ever make him think, whatever, let him stop making me cups of tea, basically.
Nice.
But I'm very proud of him for that. But I was like, so right, what is normal for breakfast today? Because Dad did the school run yesterday, and I'm not quite sure. Like, and I said, it just changes ever so slightly every day. Someone's wants are different. And they were like, go there. We had this yesterday. I was like, I don't think you did. I think you probably had something in a slightly different order. Or
they like to keep us on our toes, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Make sure that we don't we don't ever think we're experts.
That's it. And I think, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I think I'm 4 kids in now, and I'm still finding my feet with it. I still have not got it nailed at all.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, however many children you have, whatever, and the different seasons of motherhood, you know, teen, you know, I think every season of motherhood brings new challenges. And I think that is why it's so important to be kind to ourselves, give ourselves that self-compassion, go easy on ourselves, and, you know, give ourselves that little bit of what we need, because, you know, every season of motherhood has got its own fresh challenges.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, I feel sometimes I lurch like from one season to the next, one phase to the next, with like a sense of dread. But like, as I'm growing in terms of kind of what I allow myself for self-care, and what I give myself, and how I meet my own needs, that lurching is becoming slightly less of a lurch, and more a bend or a flow.
Roller coasters becoming more enjoyable to ride, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you climb around the roller coaster, you're like, oh, I don't feel quite so sick and dizzy anymore. I can handle this.
Yeah, really great analogy as well, Lou. Yeah. That's brilliant. Another question for you is, how do you feel, and we've touched on this a little bit as well, and you've got first-hand experience, but how do you feel that the pandemic has affected you and mums that you work with?
Yeah. The word a lot of the mums that I've been working with have used is like frazzled, which I think is like such a good term. And actually, I came across a bit of research. This was about 12 months ago, actually. So we've been maybe like 1 year into pandemic. And the survey said that one in three mums had been driven to breaking point after facing the pandemic juggle. So the homeschooling, the working from home, and the extra childcare. And the survey found that half the respondents, and I think it was a survey, it was done in the UK. It was conducted by an online community called Mothersphere on 1,900 mums. And the survey also found, so as well as one in three mums feeling like they were driven to breaking point, half of the respondents said they felt like in dire need of self-care. So I think, yeah, the main thing I would say is that mums during the pandemic have really struggled. I don't think anyone would deny that. I think that the mother load has been really heavy over the last 24 months. So it's probably not surprising that people feel like they're a bit on their knees. So this sort of sense of being frazzled and exhausted and depleted, a bit low and unmotivated. If anyone listening has been feeling like that, then that is completely normal. It's a normal response to chronic stress. We've been running under increased stress because we've had all this uncertainty. Are we in homeschool? Are we not in homeschool? The kids are going in, the kids are coming back, all the testing, all, you know, all of that sort of thing. Even now, like you said, we've still got elevated stress and anxiety and uncertainty because, you know, you said like at your school, the virus is doing the rounds again. It's the same at my school. We're back on the daily lateral flow test again. It's increased stress, okay? So we've had this increased stress for the last 2 years now.
Yeah.
So it's left a lot of us chronically stressed. And you can only run on your stress hormones for so long before it leaves you feeling a bit tired, a bit done, a bit meh, or completely at breaking point and depleted. So yeah, you know, the solution is to give ourselves time to heal, but the challenge is, where do you get that time from, isn't it? If you say to somebody, you just need to rest, but they're trying to homeschool, they're trying to work from home, you know, they're trying to do two jobs in one day, basically, aren't you? You know, where, how do you do that? And that's the challenge, isn't it? So that's, you know, where it's kind of my mission, I guess, just to try and arm people with a toolkit of these like micro mindfulness tools, these 1 to 2 minute tools. You give yourself that 1 minute of time for yourself during the day.
Yeah that was the micro mindfulness bits, what I get from you on a regular basis. On the right, okay. This wasn't on my list of questions for you, but would you be able to share a little bit about your latest string to your bow and the 10 of Zen?
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. So yeah, I run an online mindfulness club for mums to help mums stress a bit less and love a bit more. So we meet online every Sunday evening for a 10 minute guided mindful meditation. So it's a different kind of topic each week. We start off with a little mini laser coaching session, so just a 5 minute session maybe at the beginning of the session, where I share like a tip or a tool or just how I'm feeling, so that we can all feel a bit connected and that it resonates. And then we do a mindful meditation together, and then during the week, to help you continue to give yourself a pocket of time for yourself during the week, I share 2 mini mindfulness tools. So they're like literally 2 or 3 minute tools. It might be a little mini video or an audio, but it's just something to give you that 2 minutes in the day to just stop and recalibrate, and give yourself that moment to switch out of doing mode and be present for yourself, just to fill your capacity and resilience up. So yeah, that's 10 of them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When did you take over TenofZen? When, how did it come about?
So I, first of all, I trained as TenofZen teacher with Nikki about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then when Nikki had her third baby, I looked after her maternity cover.
Oh, she did. Yes, she did. Yeah, yeah.
So that was like about 9 weeks and I absolutely loved doing it. I was like, oh, this is so lovely. It's an amazing group of mums that are all very supportive and all on this same mission just to dial down the stress and cope with motherhood. And then I like officially kind of took over the reins as MotherZen in January.
Oh, so it's quite new, isn't it? The full rather than maternity cover.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, I'm loving having you on the like. So I say you come into my phone. I'm a member of the Zen Squad. That's what we call it, isn't it?
It's called the Zen Squad. Yeah. The company is 10 of Zen because we take 10 minutes of Zen together, and then all of the members are called like the Zen Squad, the Squaddies.
Yeah. The micro Zens that come through to your phone in the WhatsApp group are just fantastic. It always you've got this knack, and Nikki had it as well. So it's this knack of it just pinging into your phone exactly when you need it. It just feels like the universe has sent this lovely calming voice or this reminder, and it's so useful. And it's only £5 as well. It's £5 a month.
It's amazing value. I think it's such good value, like £5 a month. So every Sunday you get that mindfulness session, and then twice a week during the week you get those mini zens too, and you're just building up your toolkit. Like some practices you might really enjoy and really love and make part of your daily habits.
You can always go back to them because they've pinged through to your phone and you've saved them. So it gives you a chance
to explore and test and try loads of different tools and build up your own toolkit to take forwards with you as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's fantastic. That's another thing for me to link to in the show notes as
well. Oh, thank you. Yeah,
that's amazing. I've got a little list. I'm taking notes here. So last thing is, where can people find you online? I think we've like touched on it a little bit. If we just summarize, that would be really lovely.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at livewellwithlu. So it's just underscore between each of those. So live_well_with_lu. Or just search for Lou Barton, the Mama Mojo Coach, and it'll probably come up. And then website is the same. So www.livewellwithlu.com. And like I said, there's loads of free resources on my Instagram feed on the link in the bio. So there's like a smoothie guide if you wanted to learn how to give yourself some nourishing mood boosting smoothies. There's a free download video session for 3 power pause tools. There's that chronic stress and depletion guide. And there's also a positive self-talk guide as well.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much, Lou. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you so much for listening. Whether you've been listening in on a podcast platform or on Harrogate Community Radio, I just really appreciate your time. So thank you. As ever, if you are listening to the podcast version, then please do use your platform to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really helps getting the podcast heard by more people. And if you're listening on Harrogate Community Radio, go check out the website for a plethora of more shows, really interesting, different diverse shows on there, and have a look at the website to see how you can support the station as well. And with that, I'll say see you next time.